Help DEA keep our communities safe and healthy by participating in National Prescription Drug Takeback Day, Saturday, October 25th. Take action right in your own home by cleaning out your medicine cabinet of unneeded medications. Keep them safe, clean them out, take them back. Find a collection site near you at DEATakeback.com. Do your part to lower overdose deaths and prevent prescription drug misuse before it starts. That's DEATakeback.com.
Episode 22.
An ode to McNutt.
An ode to McNutt. One more, say it one more time. You got to get it right.
An ode to McNutt.
Again, y'all got to see his face. He looked like he smelled some steak. An ode.
An ode to McNutt.
What's up, Coach?
What's up, Coach?
Episode 22, man. So
I went all out,
what,
man.
What? Oh, man.
We're
going to get her. The first time we did the poems to McNutt, come on, dude.
I didn't do good,
and you didn't do good.
And you said we McFailed.
We McFailed.
So I went all out, and mm-hmm. and so this whole episode now right. is about poetry and Monica McNutt.
An ode. Okay. So what is an ode?
So an ode is a form of lyric poetry mm-hmm. expressing emotion, and it's usually addressed to someone or something.
Can you think of one right off the top? Like
it's a poem. I mean, it's
like
a
particular one. Like if I, an ode to, because I've heard somebody say an ode to this, I have an ode to that, and I'm trying
like
to remember.
Shakespeare.
Right. That's an ode, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fire.
Yeah.
Okay, then.
So here's the first poem to Monica McNutt.
Get
dedicated
ready, Monica.
To you. We wrote this. It's so this is the first one. An ode to McNutt.
An ode. All right. A style preserved, captured emotions of host, daily reminders of why grace and intelligence radiate. This is already better than the first one. Golly. A smile that rises in the east. Ooh. And sets in the west. A lean is more historic than the Tower of Pisa. Leader of women, the epitome of health is wealth. Natural beauty like spring water flowing down the mountain. Skin displays the perfect shade of brown. Lips that attract to inform, not lust. Woo! A soul to inspire. Boy, look at her. Don't touch me. 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 Shoot.
Is that better? Hey. Is that better?
You get a hand clap.
All right.
That's fire. All right. So look, having said that, brother,
Let's get it on, baby.
Hey.
All right.
Welcome to On and Off the Field Sports Podcast, and with a purpose. We got your On and Off the Field coach.
Rest assured, this is your boy Coach Boston, aka Steeler Nation, since 1976.
It's your boy Mr. You Better Live, aka Yoda Man, since 1986. What's happening, Coach?
What's up, Coach?
Shout out to you, man.
Shout out to you.
Episode number 22.
An ode to McNutt.
You know, we on McNutt, we on your Mac back. We're on your Mac neck.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All right, give us let's get that class clown. Let's start
some
laughs.
Class clown opening
scene.
I'm
ready to laugh.
All right, like I said, I don't know. This first joke, I'm like, why did the B-U-M get a slap? Not the B-U-M-B. B-U-M get a slap.
Why?
It was being cheeky.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got you. All right. I can dig it.
Why did the cannibal, what did the cannibal do after he dumped his girlfriend?
What?
He wiped his ass.
That's a good one. All right, what's the last thing you go through? Wait a minute. What's the last thing to go through a bug's mind as it hits the windshield?
What?
Her ass. Right. That's good.
Scientists have discovered a food that diminishes a woman's sex drive by 90%.
Okay, what is it, Kyle?
A wedding cake.
That usually works. The most effective way to remember your wife's birthday is to
forget it once.
Forget it one time. It's over with.
All right, why do golfers announce in whisper?
Why?
Because they don't want to wake up the people watching.
Because that's how boring it is. It's like watching paint dry. Where do you watch golf?
No, not on TV.
You play, right?
I play.
Okay.
I can't watch it though.
I can't.
It's fun to play.
It's like watching grass grow.
Yeah, it's fun to play.
What do you call a potato that works as a sports announcer?
What?
A commentator. That's what's up.
What is Donald Trump's favorite ESPN channel?
What is it?
ESPN Deportes.
Okay, I get that. Your mom is so dumb.
How dumb is she?
Your mom is so dumb that she thought Dunkin' Donuts was a basketball team. That was a good one.
Pessimist. The right. glass is half empty.
Uh-huh.
Optimist, the glass is half full.
Right.
Journalist, you won't believe what's in this glass.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. Why did the reporter talk to the ice cream?
Why?
She was looking for the scoop. All right, that's good.
Why did the journalist go to art school?
Why?
Because she wanted to learn how to draw conclusions.
That's good. Why did the journalist become an archaeologist?
Why?
Because she wanted to dig up old news. I like that. I like that.
Why can't basketball players go on vacation?
Why? They're not allowed
They're
to travel.
They're not allowed to travel.
Okay. Why doesn't Albany, New York, have a professional basketball team? Because then New York City would want one, too. Oh,
and
man.
I'm a Knicks fan.
Oh, man. That's low, bro.
And I'm a Knicks fan.
That's low.
What does a female basketball player do once she loses her sight?
What?
She becomes a referee.
That's good. That's good. I don't want to say too much bad about the female referees.
Well, that's as far as we're going to go.
That's as far as we're going to go. All right. Did you hear about the referee that got fired from the WNBA?
No.
Supposedly, she's a whistleblower.
Okay. What happens if Usain Bolt misses his bus stop?
What?
He waits for it at the next stop.
Facts. That's how fast he is. If at first you don't succeed, skydiving is not for you. That's crazy.
Who's the best basketball player in a galaxy far, far away?
Oh, come on.
Kobe Juan Kenobi.
Shout out to Kobe Bryant. Man.
Kobe.
A GOAT. A GOAT. If procrastination was an Olympic sport, I'd compete in it later. That's good. That's good.
Cowboys.
Oh, boy. They didn't escape.
Believing the Cowboys will win another Super Bowl is like believing a stripper really likes you.
Facts. It's all a dream. It's all show. That's good. Mary's
nerd. No, just fun facts.
I like these.
Okay. A haiku is a traditional form of Japanese poetry.
Okay.
It's characterized by its concise structure of just three lines. The beauty of haiku lies in its simplicity and depth. Traditionally, it's known as a pattern that follows of 17 symbols.
Okay.
Syllables, distributed over three lines in a 5-7-5 syllabic structure. Haiku often focuses on themes related to nature, the scenes or moments of profound insight.
Or moments, okay.
Or serenity.
Gotcha.
And this is the second ode to Mechanut. This
Mechanut.
Is a haiku for Mechanut.
All right, then. Well, let me give it to her. Watch this. Hold on. Mm-hmm. Sweeter than the blue crab. Hoya paranoia is our love in basketball. Ooh, a new season of Monica. I like that.
Ode to
Mechanut. That was fire. That was fire. That.
All right. Did you know that?
What's that? What's that?
The Mahabharata, an Indian epic poem, holds the distinction for being the longest poem in the world.
Okay.
With a staggering 1.8 million words, this immense work is not just a poem, but a comprehensive narrative that combines mythology, philosophy, and history, offering a deep insight into ancient Indian culture and wisdom.
Well, that is an interesting fact, and the fact that it's 1.8 million words, the name alone is long.
Right.
The Mahabharata. Yeah, that's probably about 100,000 right there. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Did you know?
All right, things that make you go, The term or fear of poetry is called metrophobia.
Wow.
This unusual phobia encompasses an irrational and intense fear or aversion to poetry. It can stem from various causes, such as negative experiences with poetry in the past, difficulty understanding poetic language and forms, or even the anxiety of interpreting and responding to the emotional depth found in poetry.
And I'm not trying to make fun of anybody that has a phobia, a metrophobia, but try to picture somebody, a romantic man. You remember Pepe Le Pew? Dicks. Hey, remember him? He used to roll up on, he'd say a poem.
Yes.
So what, imagine somebody being romantic, rolling up on a woman, right? Hey, I'm going to read you some poetry. No!
Like that cat was afraid of because of his stink, though.
But it was his stink. But imagine somebody having a fit from romantic, being romantic.
Right.
That's kind of jacked up.
That's crazy.
Bless your heart.
All right. This is back to our Q&A segment. What are female poets called?
They're called poets.
A poetess.
Poetess.
It's a female poet. Okay. Although most female poets prefer to be called poets.
Okay.
What percentage of poets are female?
I'm going to say 20%.
62%.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well.
Y'all don't hear me.
WNBA
segment. WNBA segment. Oh, so, yeah. Monica Magnut did not play in the WNBA, huh? Well, but in her collegiate career, did you hear what I said?
Let me hear.
She had some numbers. Y'all want to hear these numbers, huh?
Yes. Preach.
She had Monica Magnut average, 11.2 points a game, 4.3 rebounds, 1.4 assists. 1.8 steal, moreover, she amassed a career 1,172 points, 474 rebounds, 139 assists,
amen.
192 steals, and 36 blocks. You don't hear me?
Hey, I hear you.
Turn to your neighbor. And in both her junior and senior years, she led the Hornets to two consecutive NCAA tournament runs, including a spot in the 2011 Sweet 16. All right.
Travel through your eyes segment. Okay, Monica Magnut is from Suitland, Maryland.
What?
Which is a suburb of Washington, D.C.
All right.
All right, here are three famous people who are also from Suitland.
Mm-hmm.
Monica Magnut.
Of course.
Kevin Durant.
Okay.
And Reginald Dwayne Betts, who's a famous black poet. He's an American poet, legal scholar, and educator, and prison reform advocate. At age 16, he committed an armed carjacking, was prosecuted as an adult, and then was sentenced to 9 years in prison. It was there where he learned how to read and discovered poetry.
Wow.
He's now working on his PhD at Yale University.
Wow. Yeah. What a comeback.
Wow. Big time.
Wow.
Big time.
All right. Health and wealth segment.
Hey, right.
All right. This was copied and pasted from Monica McNutt's Instagram page.
We're not stalking you like that.
Right. Okay. And I quote, she said, "I'm big on wellness and know that looks." Wait a minute. "I'm big on wellness and know that looks different for everybody." Mm-hmm. "Personally, a good gym session is part of my wellness equation, but that doesn't mean you always love it in the midst of it." I can associate with that. "Make time to take care of yourself, y'all. Be good to you." End quote.
End quote.
I like that. Health as well.
Health as well.
That's huge now. I've never been so health conscious. I'm 56, just turned 56. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say you don't become health conscious until, you don't care about nothing until you start hitting 40.
Sure.
You don't care about no pains. Nothing is mysterious.
Right.
When you start really becoming health conscious, though, at 40, I really got serious around 48. And now I've never been this more health conscious.
Yeah, same. When I played football, obviously I was, health conscious.
Right.
But now I'm like obsessed with it in a good way, obviously.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. If I don't do it, I feel funny.
I feel like I'm disobeying. My body craves it. If I take off from lifting the next day, my body's like, "Well, why aren't you lifting again?"
Right.
Yeah.
It's like a Porsche.
Yeah.
Wondering why you're not driving.
Right.
Yeah.
Got to push it.
All right.
Here's number three, an ode to McNutt.
I'm ready. "Blaze a path for young girls. Stand up to the bullies and Stephen A." Ooh, McNutt Sports Television. "See in your eyes that first time. Redefine the narratives. Our forever health is wealth." Oh, we killing him. Ooh, boy, she trying to fight him off now. Oh, we landing on thick, coach.
All right, this is our two thumbs up segment. We're going to talk about love and basketball.
Okay, I'm listening.
It tells the story of Quincy McCall, played by Omar Epps, and Monica Wright, played by Sanaa Lathan, as two next-door neighbors from Los Angeles who are pursuing their respective basketball careers before eventually falling in love with each other.
You don't say.
Yeah, I don't say.
You know, some country folk.
It's some sick. They snort.
They do.
Bush light.
All right, yeah. First and 10 segment. College football weekend.
Yeah.
Listen, man. Let me say this.
Thank God Florida State got DJ Ugalele. Thank God.
DJ Ugly
play. Ugly
play. That's his name.
God, he was
bad. Dude, they laid an egg two weeks in a row.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's hard when you have bad quarterback play and you can't get first downs. They got three first downs the whole game.
That was horrible. And you're losing to another ACC team, Boston College ACC,
they
right?
They smacked them.
Right?
Yeah,
Boston College.
Right.
And Georgia Tech was ACC. So it's two ACC losses.
Yes. They smacked
them. Florida State started out ranked what? Number five?
I'm not sure they were that high, but they were top.
They were top 10.
Top 10.
Yeah, they were.
Close to
right.
top.
Because when they lost, they dropped to 10.
You're right, right.
I thought they was like five, coach. Or seven.
I'm not sure. I don't want to say.
Why did
I know they were top 10?
Why did Michigan start out at 9, at 10?
I don't like preseason rankings because it's all based on it's all based on what you did last year, which has nothing to do with this year. Michigan, if anything, does not deserve to be ranked.
You think that was a shot at Harbaugh even though he gone?
I don't think they deserve to be ranked.
Wow. They're the defending champs.
That ain't got nothing to do with this year.
But you got to give them that, though. You got to give them the benefit of the doubt. That goes throughout the history of college football.
I understand how you do it for preseason rankings, but what my point have always been, do it like after the third week of the regular season. That way you know who's who.
But here's the thing, and I don't mind them starting them out in the top three. If you're the defending champ, I don't mind it. You earn that.
Well, yeah, you're the defending champ, sure.
Sure, Michigan, they're defending champs.
But are they the same Michigan from last year?
I feel
not
you,
even
but,
close.
But you still have to give them that. You know what I'm saying? Like, give them that.
They are the defending champs.
But they started them out. They were juggling that 10.
Man, I wouldn't
put. And they had some trash teams that would be top 10 Michigan could beat.
See, that's why I say, and that's all based on speculative preseason rankings based on what happened last year. I would just wait to after 3 weeks, and then you'll know.
Yeah, I got you. Third and short segment.
Yeah, so it's interesting that all of the sports, do you think all of the sports take a back seat at the start of the college football season? Because we were heavy in WNBA over the summer.
I think college definitely, they took a back seat to college.
Baseball
football.
Does.
Absolutely. I think all of them across the board.
Yeah.
College football season, opening week.
Yeah.
They take I don't care. Because what? They play a Thursday night game, Friday night.
Thursday through Monday.
Right.
First weekend.
We was locked in.
Locked in.
The first week was off the chain to me.
I know.
Like, you know what I mean? Of course, Wisconsin still looked like trash.
They got our old quarterback, Tyler Van
Dyke. Dude, they're not going to do nothing. All right.
All right. Here's number four, McNutt. This is an ode to McNutt, number four.
Me. Kalan.
It means beauty.
Oh, the goddess of moral beauty. Living on the island of purity. Surrounded by idealness, faultlessness, and flawlessness, beauty in the physical and moral sense, stained glass window of character. Ooh, that sounds like I was describing an Amazon woman on an Amazon island,
like Greece.
You know what I'm saying? Like right. Amazonian type,
right?
Like that was fire.
Like that island where Wonder Woman was on.
Yeah, what I'm talking about. That was Amazon.
All right, Animal Planet segment.
All right, let's go.
All right, Monica McNutt played for the Georgetown Hoyas.
Mm-hmm.
Their mascot chosen to represent the Hoyas is the English Bulldog.
That's right.
The English Bulldog, also known as the British Bulldog, is a medium-sized muscular dog weighing about 40 to 55 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
They have large heads with a thick folds of skin around the face and shoulders and a relatively fat face with a protruding lower jaw.
Mm-hmm.
The English Bulldog displays a friendly temperament and can make a great family dog.
Okay. All right. Edible Eats segment. Describe a romantic dinner you would prepare for McNutt and set the mood at your house. You go first.
Okay.
A romantic dinner. Go ahead. First of all, I don't think she, because she kind of like, she's beautiful, mm-hmm. but she has this like tomboyish kind of thing to her.
Okay, so you know what I mean? We need to keep it somewhat casual?
It's kind of, you know what I mean? Because I don't think she's the type to be like all ditzy, romantic, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
She don't look
so I'm going to have the TV on in the background. I'm going to have the TV on in the background.
Okay.
Whatever her favorite channel is.
Mm-hmm. Probably ESPN.
Yeah. And we will, since we're going to go there, we will have just one candle.
Okay. What? Why you changed to one candle?
Well, you not romantic.
Okay.
Toning it down.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. All right.
All right. And so we're gonna make some little appetizers.
Okay.
You know, maybe some shrimp.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Sauteed.
Okay. Yeah. Bang bang shrimp.
Yeah, a little bang bang shrimp.
Okay.
Yeah. Then
a hit for later. Yeah. A little
salmon, some vegetables.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
You stole mine, dude. You know I was going for the salmon, dude.
Oh.
You know what I was going to try? I was going to do the salmon, saute some, what are those things I told you I wanted to try? The
edamame?
Not the edamame.
Edamame?
They're seafood. You did them. Scallops.
Scallops. Oh, wow, yeah.
Do some stuffed salmon.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Stuff it with some...
crab meat?
Yeah. Oh, you just gave me that. Crab meat and put a vegetable in it. Some
spinach.
Spinach. Crab meat and spinach
and
stuff.
Creamy spinach.
Ooh, salmon. With a bed of rice. Would that be your starch?
I would, you know, I'm not gonna eat the rice.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not gonna eat the rice. I'll have some vegetables down there.
Some asparagus.
Asparagus maybe.
Be good.
Yeah.
That'd be good. That'd be a good romantic meal. What you say, McNutt? What you got to drink?
With that, you gotta have some little white wine.
White, you go white. I was gonna go red.
Yeah, well, white wine.
We gotta see if she white or red.
Well, okay, whatever. What are you, McNutt?
Yes.
Are you white or red?
Are you white or red?
Let us know.
Hey, we are serious about this.
We're serious about this. All right,
go ahead.
Blue bag music segment.
Blue bag. Just say it right.
Blue bag music.
Blue bag. Blue bag.
Like Shannon's up. Blue bag music segment. All right. Sing or rap a song to McNutt.
Okay. Okay. Oh, so long, and this night I pray that a star would guide you my way to share with me this special day. There's a ribbon in the sky where I love.
Ooh. She just fainted.
I got her.
She just fainted.
That ought to get us on that, Kobe.
Yeah, we in there.
That's good. You got to say, we going to do one?
No, I can't say
try it. Come on. You know they say. Women say the most romantic man is the one that tries.
I wrote the poetry.
Okay, I got you. We'll let you. I ain't going to do you like that. All right.
You're up.
Lifestyle and martini segment. Mm-hmm. All right. Where are you taking Monica McNutt for dinner and drinks if she came to visit Mobile? Okay. Totally different setting. The one we did before, you're making the dinner, we're making the dinner at the house. We're sitting there. All
right. Right.
So in Mobile, I would take her to, oh man. It's so many good ones downtown. Mm-hmm. But then I'm thinking about the Causeway. If I want to take it to the, you know, something on the Causeway.
Felix's
is a good one.
Yeah.
Felix's is a good one. But if I want something on this side of the bay.
So first we're going to go to the Turkish Tavern.
Okay.
And then up across the street to the to Dolphins.
Dolphins. Yeah, that's good. That's a good spot.
Now we had two drinks. We had a nice view.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now we're going to
back to the room.
No. No, we're going to be respectful.
I'm sorry. I just said, you know. Shout out to her boyfriend or her husband. Is she married?
Engaged, soon to be.
I was trying to find out that it wouldn't give me the clear information, you know what I'm saying, so I could see what I was up against.
Hey, it's all good.
Yeah,
it's good. You're married.
Stiff competition.
You married.
Yeah, but she's my ESPN girlfriend.
Right. All right. All right, the On and Off the Field Book Club.
All right.
Okay, this is called A Fire in the Hills. It's a poem book by Afa M. Weaver. And this book focuses on articulation of self in relation to the external landscape of the community. The racial references are explicit, are as complexities of life lived as a black man born in America in the mid-20th century. These poems emanating from an attempt to follow Douglass' philosophy for most of his life. Knowledge of other is in relation to knowledge of self. And self is an illusory continuum, a perspective wherein the poet embodies the transcendent arc of Malcolm X's life as a credo.
When you said relation to knowledge of self, and that immediately reminded me of like what Muslims say.
Right.
They say that. On that, knowledge of self.
Right.
And like I said, you mentioned Malcolm X, even in the movie.
That's what he said.
No, Malcolm X said that.
Yeah.
He said that... He was, they say that now. They say it now, right to this day.
I think it's time.
Hold on. Guess what? My battery dead.
Are you serious?
My battery dead. Look, y'all, it's the Yoda moment. And my battery dead.
Yeah!
My phone, dude. Yeah. Oh my goodness. All right. Yoda moment, come
okay.
on.
Okay. All right. So I did another research. This says, by his word we understand him. This is John 1. So by his poetry, we are introduced to a God that is creative, enigmatic, beautiful. God chooses to use poetry to spread his gospel, which is for everyone. And this other quote says, the third section of the Bible is the poetry section.
Okay.
It is made up of five books, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Songs of Solomon.
Okay.
So the question is, discuss poetry in the Bible.
Okay. That's huge. And all of those books you named. Even Job being considered as poetry, that's heavy. Because if you read the book of Job, it's rough. He went through, bro. He lost everything before he got everything back.
Right.
But anyway, poetry in the Bible, of course, they're called psalms. And the people that do them are called psalmists. And I consider myself a psalmist. And Solomon, who I think was probably one of the reason I think Solomon was one of the top poets in the Bible is because Solomon asked God for wisdom. To be the wisest person to ever walk the earth, and God gave him that wisdom. So somebody that wise, imagine him penning a poem.
Right.
So I think he was probably huge with it. And a lot of poetry was just mentioned in the Psalms, but they're actually songs, like, for instance, songs of ascent. Like in the latter part of the Psalms, like Psalm 147, 148, 140, they start going up the hill. In other words, they're going to worship. So while they was going up the hill, they would recite the poetry. While they was going up the hill, and everybody would recite it.
Okay.
You know, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go in the house, to the house of the Lord. They're going up there with the song of ascent.
Right.
So that's what that poetry / songs were.
Right.
So it was big with that. I'm going to tell you something else was big with poetry. People don't realize. When you got ready to go to war, the armies would chant these poems of like war poems. And they'd be in the mountains where they did it, which would spread an echo. And the
drums.
Yes,
too.
With the drums.
Yeah, yeah.
And chanting the poetry.
Right.
And they would chant this, and it was, you speak words. Words, you got to think about something. Words is power.
Right.
It manifests. So when they would say that, they would build, by the time they get to the enemy, they crump. Like we are before we do our On and Off the Field podcast.
Right.
So yeah, that poetry served as a sign of comfort, of reassurance, praise, war. They went to war on poetry. It's amazing. So deep. It's huge in the Bible, man.
Wow.
Poetry's moving. Yep. Oh. Well, got that music. Got that. Yoda, 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 Yoda. I can't believe my phone's dead. Listen, you know what? That's how real we keep it right here. Y'all, phone dead as a donut. I go to Bristol, no response.
It's all good.
We
man.
Good, y'all. All right, art segment.
The art segment.
The art.
Phyllis Wheatley is a pioneer in poetry.
I wish I could take a picture. His face tight
Phyllis
as hell.
Wheatley was a remarkable African-American poet
Botox.
Who defied the odds of her time.
Botox.
Born in West Africa around 1753, she was enslaved and brought to Boston, Massachusetts at a young age.
Dude.
Despite facing immense prejudice and discrimination, Wheatley learned to read and write and eventually became a celebrated poet. Wheatley's poetry often explored the themes of religion, slavery, and the human condition. Her work was praised for her eloquence, intelligence, and moral depth. Wheatley's achievements were groundbreaking for her time. Today, her poetry continues to inspire and challenge readers, reminding us of the power of the human spirit to overcome adversity.
You were the last line out. You know what? I know Brits. What accent was that? Brits, I know they get tired when they talk.
They got
them. Got the muscles. The muscles in it. They never relax the muscles, dude. All right.
Number five. An Ode to McNutt. This again is from Phyllis Wheatley, one of the first African-American female poets, and this is specifically to a painter.
To show the laboring bosom's deep intent and thought in living characters to paint. When first thy pencil did those beauties give, and breathing figures learnt from thee to live. How did those prospects give my soul delight? A new creation rushing on my sight. Still, wondrous youth, each noble path pursue. O deathless glories fix thine ardent view. Still may the painter's and the poet's fire to aid thy pencil and thy verse conspire. Sounded like the dude from Thriller.
That monster on Bugs Bunny. Alright, perception versus perspective.
Let's go.
Alright, the main point of a poem. What is the main point of a poem?
Isn't it the message you want to get across to the listener?
So many say it's in the eye and ear of the beholder.
Okay. Okay.
The reader think, or does it amuse, stir, anger, soothe you? How does it move you? Mm-hmm. That's in the eye of the beholder. Mm-hmm. It's subjective. Regardless of the attention of the poet, mm-hmm. each poem is perceived differently by each person. Mm-hmm. The question becomes, can you find the true meaning or perspective of the poet herself?
That's good.
Yeah.
Hmm. My answer was a little bit close. I didn't look down on purpose so I could see if I was close in my answer.
Right.
All right. Helpful hint segment. Follow the Secret Service rule when you enter a room or building.
All right. I saw that on a video. And this is helpful hints to men, but specifically for women.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you walk into a room, whenever you go to a function, whenever mm-hmm. you go somewhere.
Okay.
The first thing you need to do is take the first 10 seconds like the Secret Service does for the president and look around.
Analyze.
Find your way out. Find uh-huh. who's in the room.
Uh-huh.
Make sure that you're safe.
Right
away.
Just how many exits?
How many exits? Where is the exit? Mm-hmm. Where's the closest exit?
Right.
Okay.
And it's okay to lie.
The other part of that video, she said, it's okay to lie. If someone says, hey, what's your name? You don't have to give them your real name.
Yeah.
Do you work here? You don't have to give them. You don't have to tell them you work here.
Okay.
Are you married? It's none of your business.
It's okay to lie.
It's okay to lie.
Huh.
If you're in a first-time situation with someone you do not know, it's okay to lie.
That's fine.
Yeah. If you're a single female, on your own.
It's okay to lie. Okay.
All right, number six.
Yes, sir.
Ode to McNutt.
Ooh.
All right, this is taken from Maya Angelou, and we're going to read it together. It's called Still I Rise.
All right. You may write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may trod me in the very dirt, but still, like dust, I'll rise.
Does my sassiness upset you? Why are you beset with gloom? Because I walk like I've got oil wells pumping in my living room.
Go ahead.
Just like the moons and like the suns, with the certainty of tides, just like hope springing high, still I rise.
Did you want to see me broken? Bowed head and lowered eyes, shoulders falling down like teardrops, weakened by my soulful cries. Does my hardiness offend you? Don't you take it awful hard, because I laugh like I've got gold mines digging in my own backyard. You may shoot me with your words. You may cut me with your eyes. You may kill me with your hatefulness, but still, like air, I'll rise.
Does my sexiness upset you? Does it come as a surprise that I dance like I've got diamonds at the meeting of my thighs?
Well,
one of the huts of history's shame, I rise.
Up from a past that's rooted in pain, I rise.
I'm a black ocean leaping and wide, welling and swelling I bear in the tide, leaving behind nights of terror and fear, I rise.
Into a daybreak that's wondrously clear, I rise.
Bringing the gifts that my ancestors gave, I am the dream and the hope of a slave. I rise.
I rise.
I rise.
Fire!
Hey.
Come on,
Maya. They might need to pay us for that. Where Maya at?
Maya, I didn't notice.
What's
she
happened?
Passed away. I didn't know that.
When?
Man, 2014, I think.
Man, no.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody told me nothing.
Nobody told me nothing.
Ow! No, not toward Maya, but Ricky Smiley. He did this prank one time. He called. He called. He called. He called the nurse at the funeral home. He said, "Yeah, hello. Yeah, I was trying to see what you have in the funeral today." "Yes, ma'am. What did you got on now?" "Well, we got Mr. Larry Howe." "Mr. Larry Howe? Mr. Larry Howe died. Well, nobody told me nothing." And then he'll stop and say, "Well, what else she got?" "Say, we got another one at 2:30. "Well, who that is? Everybody make that. Who that is?" "We got Miss Delabree, bro." "Miss Delabree? Ain't nobody." And he was trying to calm her down. "Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am." "Say, ma'am, we used to cut my yard." "And he was going to die." Okay. Boy, that used to be funny, boy. Shout out to Ricky Smiley.
Ricky Smiley.
I wish we could interview you.
I know. We need to put him on the mix.
Boy.
All right, it's all about the relationship segment.
All right.
Have you ever dated a female basketball player?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I have. She was like a lot taller than me. So I had to kind of.
Was that an issue?
Well, only when I kissed her.
Okay.
And we were standing up.
Okay.
Yeah. And it, you know.
Okay.
Yeah. I remember. I don't know what happened. Hold on. I remember when I was living in Pensacola. Wait a minute. Coach. I remember when I was sleeping in Pensacola. I was stationed in Pensacola. I gotta get it out. I was stationed in Pensacola, right? And it was this club we used to go to. Kind of like, you know, Mobile and Pensacola, a lot of like, you know that.
Okay,
so
okay.
I'm gonna make this quick.
Okay.
So it was this midget pimp, no lie. He had this bitch. Ha ha. It was this pimp. He was a midget. I'm not lying. He used to drive his car with three phone books. He was sitting on three phone books. So look. Look, coach, I gotta get it out. I'm not lying. So he ran into one of his workers, right? Apparently, she wasn't in the spot she was supposed to be in. It pissed him off, dude. It was probably dust dark. It wasn't all the way dark, so you could still see pretty good. That's how I saw the phone books. So when she came, she showed up at the club. But he say, so he, I ain't gonna say what he said, but he called a few names. And then right before she said, okay, Dad, I'm gonna go there. He said, all right, before you go there, pick me up. He said, pick me up. She picked him up and he slapped the taste out of my mouth. Oh my goodness, dude.
Are you serious?
I would never forget that. I was in the Navy and I was stationed in Pensacola. He said, pick me up so I can slap you.
He back slapped his face.
At first, she didn't want to pick him up, you know. But, you know, she worked for him. I'm not, listen, y'all. I'm not lying about this.
Oh, my God.
This is in Pensacola, Florida. I was there from 90 to 92. So, it was somewhere in between there. Out Paddle Fox Road.
Yeah, they do have
places. Paddle Fox, yeah. I'm telling you. I'm not lying to y'all. A midget pimp. He slapped that lady so hard. What tripped me out was she picked him up so he could slap her. He said, pick me up. He told her, said, pick me up so I can slap you before you go to your spot. She said, no. She finally picked him up. Okay, we back
she
up.
Probably hold him like sorry. This. Like,
dude, he slapped the taste out of my mouth. And she put him down and she went over to the her spot.
Oh my God.
I would never forget that. As long as I live. Okay, I'm sorry. I don't know how we went there. And that came from a female basketball player, me, because she was a lot taller than me.
It's all good.
Okay. Quote of the day segment.
Quote of the day.
You will find poetry nowhere unless you bring some of it with you. Unknown author. Okay.
That's deep.
That is deep.
Most poets talk about a part of them, their triumphs, their tragedies.
Right.
They get deep with it.
Okay, cool.
All right.
Final drive.
Sports Jeopardy.
Oh, man, I want to see how you do this for us.
All right. Describe a play-by-play of McNutt going to the hoop for the game winner in the Howard Cosell voice.
Oh, man. Monica McNutt gets the ball at top of the key. She drives down to the right. She pivots. She does a spin move. Double down to the bucket and scores.
2 points for McNutt.
2 points for McNutt. That's it.
All right.
Look, you remember how, I don't know why I got all these stories that's relatable. Remember how Cosell got in trouble for the racist statement?
Yes.
The guy picked the ball off and he said, look at him go. Oh, swinging like a monkey. Yeah, you remember that? He said, look at him go. Oh, swinging like a monkey. They went to commercial. Howard was gone.
Yeah, I know.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that.
People think to see that think I'm lying about that.
No, he
look at him go.
That was controversial.
Oh, swinging like a monkey. That's what he said.
He came back and he was gone. Yeah, he wouldn't
over with.
Yeah, no more Cosell for the game.
Over with, bro.
Right.
Wow.
All right. This is number 7. An ode to McNutt.
Eighty.
All right, this is a verse from a 14th century Persian poet about transcending the temporal world to connect with the eternal.
Okay.
I had this Iranian poet that I follow, he actually translated this. So this is
Persian?
Yes.
So I need to read it with a Persian.
Iran.
Iran?
Iranian. Middle East.
I don't know. I don't know how to do them. You must endeavor to attain a timeless existence. Although you have come to the land of annihilation, the land of transience without permanence, you must endeavor to attain to a timeless existence, because you have come here to obtain a rendezvous with God. Oh, that's fire.
Deep, isn't it?
Oh, that's fire, that last line. Bars. You have come here to obtain a rendezvous with God. That's fire.
Yeah. The whole poem talks about being here, but you're only here to be with God. Mm. That's why you're here, to prepare for your rendezvous with God.
That's heavy. Yeah.
Okay. The Sex Doctor segment.
All right.
All right. Oral poetry is a form of poetry that is composed and transmitted
without
the aid of writing.
Wait a minute now. Wait a minute. What kind of poetry are you doing? I didn't know you could do that at the same time.
It's composed and transmitted without the aid of writing.
So all right.
Oral poetry.
All right. All right. Okay.
New segment.
Family Feud.
All right, let me give you 5 questions.
All right.
All right. You ready?
Yep.
All right, name something kids are taught about Abraham Lincoln.
That he's the president.
Okay. Name a vehicle that would also be a kid's toy.
Bike. Does that qualify as a vehicle? What? A vehicle that would also be a kid's toy. A race car? Okay. Where was it?
Dump truck, fire truck, tractor, police car, bulldozer.
All right.
What might a kid in trouble? What might get a kid in trouble for writing on?
Writing on the wall.
Yes, the number one answer actually.
What?
What might a kid bring to summer camp in case they get homesick?
Let's see. Picture.
Number one answer.
Okay.
Name a milestone for teenagers.
First kiss?
That's the third answer.
Okay, what's number one?
Driver's license.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, all right.
All right.
All right, here we go. This is number 8, an ode to Mekhanot. This is called On the Pulse of Morning. Okay. This was what Maya Angelou read when Barack Obama got inducted as the president of the United States.
All right. A rock, a river, a tree, hosts to species long since departed, marked the mastodon, the dinosaur, who left dried tokens of their sojourn here on our planet floor. Any abroad alarm of their hastening doom is lost in the gloom of dust and ages. But today, the rock cries out to us clearly, forcefully.
Come, you may stand upon my back and face your distant destiny, but seek no haven in my shadow. I will give you no hiding place here.
You created only a little lower than the angels, have crouched too long in the bruising darkness, have lain too long face down in ignorance, your mouths spilling words, armed for slaughter.
The rock cries out to us today. You may stand upon me, but do not hide your face. Fire.
Pet peeve. Yeah, that was a fire one. That was a fire one. That sounded like Maya. You know what? It's got her lace to it. Like,
yeah, that's her poem.
It got that lace. That
got her style, her flow.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to get at. Pet peeve segment.
Pet peeves.
In my Gollum voice. Gollum. They suspect us. Yes. My precious. Having to repeat myself because you're not listening, precious. And doing something, precious. But I'm talking to you, precious. You like my Gollum voice, huh?
That's good, man.
That's my favorite show. One of my favorite shows, dude.
Man, when I first saw him, I was like, look at this dude, man. That ring got him, man.
It got him. Because he looked good at first.
Right.
He killed his friend over the ring.
I know.
Choked him to death.
He was crazy. Because
at first they was playing.
Right, right.
Like, no, just play. Give it to me. Give it to me. He got serious.
Got serious with that.
Shoot. That was kind of eerie.
Right. That's what I thought.
It was like a beautiful Saturday morning.
That was the part that it there were parts that it got dark.
That was really eerie, dude.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Versus segment. Mm-mm. Okay. Sam Kinison. Who would win an amateur poetry contest? Ain't Teresa Caitlin Clark.
Say it. You know, he used to start out his conversation. He'd laugh. Be like,
little helper. Hey. Yeah, so you want to join the conversation? Hi, man, little helper.
Got your cute little button on there, helper. Where'd you get those shoes from, helper? Yeah. Did your mom buy those shoes when she saw them? Oh, my goodness. All right.
So who will win? Who will win a poetry contest? Angel Reese or Caitlin Clark?
I'm going to say, you know what? That's hard to say. I'm going to say Angel. I'm going to go with Angel.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Angel. I don't think Caitlin got that swag.
I'll go with Angel Reese, too.
All right. Where were you when segment? All right. Describe where you were in life in the 1989, the year Monica was born.
1989. I was in Maine.
Public Enemy say 1989, another summer.
Get down on the drummer.
All right, I was in Pensacola from 90 to 92. I was in boot camp.
What did y'all do boot camp at?
I did it in Orlando. Wait a minute. No, I was in Pensacola from 90 to 92. I was in Virginia on the USS Coral Sea, CV-43 carrier.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, and I was like 20, 21 years old.
Okay.
Yes, and so, yeah.
I was 19. 21. Yeah, I was 19.
When she was born?
I was 19 when she was born.
Y'all make me feel old. Okay, dude. Thank you for that.
All right, red flags. Mm-hmm. Someone who thinks I'm better than you.
When someone blows at their horn constantly.
I think we got to, yeah.
when someone blows on their horn, is that the red flag segment?
Yeah, I think we got it mixed up.
So, I think so.
Yeah, you know what? A red flag is when you got it mixed up. We just gonna move on to another. This is number 9.
All right. Wait a minute. Okay, sing in harmony. Time to see. The dance starts early. Light barely on. Did nature ever sleep? A jungle rainforest with prey. Take flight, soar into the darkness over the leaves. No fear but that of life. The lone oak tree playground.
To make nut.
That was fire.
To make nut.
I like that.
All right, coming out the tunnel segment.
Biscuit.
Who has the best opening for a college football team? Like when they come out, who do you think has the best?
Oh, man. Let's see. Oklahoma has a good one with the horses.
The horses. The
carriage.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good one. Buffalo. Colorado has one.
Colorado has the Buffalo. I like theirs. Although they're my enemy, Florida State, the way the Seminole comes out at the 50-yard line and drops a spear, that's pretty cool.
Let me say this. Let me ask this question. Does the eagle at Auburn, releasing the eagle count?
Oh, that's nice, too. Well, it's great for the fans, I guess.
That one count is coming at the tunnel.
I guess
they do it, though.
Yeah.
That's spectacular. Yeah. I've never seen it.
Coming out to smoke? The smoke?
That's fire, too. They got some good ones. Mm-hmm. I think those could be arguable. All of those are arguably number one.
Right.
For whatever reason, it's according to what you like.
Right.
So, yeah, those are good. All of those are good. Okay. Comics and cartoon segment. Could McNutt have been a member of Josie and the Pussycats? Absolutely, Josie and the Pussycats. Yeah. Yes.
She could have been the black girl.
Right. Absolutely.
The tambourine.
Yeah, she banged it right on her hip, too. She got the hip for it.
All right, would you rather segment.
All right.
Would you rather get abducted by aliens and taken to their planet? Would you rather be shown in the zoo or in the circus? If you're abducted by aliens and taken to their planet, would you rather be in the zoo or in the circus?
I'm going to say the circus because the zoo you're in a cage more, aren't you?
Right.
Just sitting there, they looking at you.
At the circus, you got to perform
tricks. You got to perform, but you got a chance to break loose.
You gonna break loose?
I'm hitting the first exit. Up out of there. Oh my goodness, pardon me. All right. Tongue twister.
Tongue segment. Twister.
I slit the sheet I slit, and on the slitted sheet I sit. I got that.
You did. I slit the sheet.
You go, you done.
The sheet done. I slit.
No, you gotta start over.
And on the slit
sheet
I sit.
You gotta start over.
I didn't mess up. I slit the sheet. The sheet I slit. And on the slitted sheet I sit.
On the slitted. You said on the slitted. On the slitted sheet I sit. You were struggling with that one. All right.
Charades, rap lines.
Okay.
All right. So while you're imitating Al Capone, I'll be your Nina Simone and defecating on your microphone.
That's LL Cool J.
Nope.
No, Biggie Smalls.
Nope.
No. Oh, okay. So while you're imitating Al Capone, I'll be Nina Simone and defecating on your microphone. Oh, you got me. It's
Lauryn Hill.
Ah, daggone it. Okay.
All right. I'm not saying I'm number one. Sorry, I lied. I'm number one, two, three, four, and five.
What's his name? This teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, KRS-One.
KRS-One.
Yes.
Okay. So put a quarter in your ass because you played yourself.
Big Daddy Kane.
Big Daddy Kane.
Yeah, man.
All right. Another ode to McNutt.
McNutt.
This is number 10.
All right. Sounds filter the air. Animals fight for attention. Clouds illustrate the first bloom. Colors fill the senses. Our fingers brush, two breaths of foreplay. Disappear into one another world. God's light to bless. Almost there. Our fingers touch, forever connected. Fire.
All right.
Ah, we went out, bro.
All right. Truth or dare?
Oh, man. All right.
Truth or dare?
Truth.
Truth. Yes. Okay. Would you want to see the video from Trump's sexual encounter with Stormy Daniels?
No goodness.
No. Me neither.
Listen. So is that true?
Oh, yeah. They yeah. He paid for it.
And it's a video out?
No video. That's what I'm saying.
Oh,
what,
yeah, if that was a video.
Right,
okay.
Right,
all right.
Right,
all
right. Right. Right.
All right. Oh, my goodness. What if segment?
All right.
What if former President Trump was haiku poetry, was a haiku poetry poet in his leisure time? Let me read that right. What if former President Trump was a haiku poet in his leisure time? Do I have to read that? Like Trump?
Yeah.
Very. I am the best president ever, ever. Very. I tried to get my Trump on, dude. All right. Oh, you got this one, huh?
Okay. An ode to McNutt. This is number 11.
All right.
Spirits of kind. Firefall leaves. Night moves and fast. Nature's air conditioning.
Mm.
Romance and folly.
Mm-hmm.
Give way to the day. The Ernie Barnes self-portrait. A Monica, not a Mona.
Oh, that was good.
An ode to
the McNutt.
Don't forget to like us and follow us on your favorite podcast platform. I got the slippy tongue today. You can listen to us on Pandora, Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Facebook, X, formerly known as Twitter, Instagram, Podcast Addict, and of course, our website, On and Off the Field with a DA.com.
This has been On and Off the Field Sports Podcasting with a Purpose. You got the On the Field Coach.
Rest assured, this is your boy, Coach Boston, a.k.a. Steeler Nation since 1976.
This is your boy, Yoda, since 1968, August 23rd, to be exact. The Thank infamous. You. Listen here, episode 22, Coach.
And O to Macronauts.
We out.
Peace.
Peace.